One of the things I've noticed from having heart problems, it's easy to get very, very tired. And for you younger people, it was said, don't you know that you're going to get tired? 40 is coming, and you lose your eyesight, and you have frailty. But it doesn't have to be that way for the people of God. We read the wondrous stories of those who did not lack for strength to the end of their lives. Why? Because they were upheld by the Lord. And so I bring a word to those who possibly are here today who are weary. And perhaps you're not feeling so weary today. You're kind of excited. Well, I trust you know that you have your weary moments as well. There are times when you as a parent grow weary. For moms who have a little flock of little ones, you love them dearly, but there's times when you just maybe are challenged with even getting up out of the bed in the morning. You're so tired, you haven't slept much that night. Perhaps you're an older parent who've spent seemingly the great part of your life training up your children in the way that they should go. And you know you haven't been a perfect example to your children, but your heart's discouraged because one or more of your children have not followed in the ways of the Lord. Perhaps you're mindful today that the Lord says to you, if you're the head of a household particularly, that those who do not provide for their own are worse than an infidel. And you're in the workplace and you're struggling with laboring to provide for your family. And you see yourself overlooked for promotion in the workplace. Perhaps you're a young person here. You have certain heart desires. You've asked the Lord to supply those needs. And it seems like He hasn't answered. And you're left waiting. Perhaps you've even struggled with this consciously, and you know oftentimes your walk with the Lord is something less than it ought to be. But you've confessed your sin to the Lord, and you've sought for His help, and you tried over and over again to honor the Lord by the obedience of your life. But the Scriptures are very real to us, are they not? The Lord doesn't hold back. The Lord tells us the struggles that are inherent in the life of a believer. Temptations that come. Psalm 73 speaks of the struggles of Asaph, where he's struggled to be obedient to the Lord, only to look upon those who seemingly are careless about how they live their lives, and they seem to prosper while he himself struggles so. Were you eager to come to the house of the Lord today? Or did you drag yourself out of bed and say, they'll miss me if I'm not there? You see, so often in different ways we struggle with weariness. And I'm not talking about just the physical weariness that you might have if you have a heart ailment or some other physical affliction. But there's a spiritual ailment whereby often you struggle. You've gone weary and doing well. Well, I read an Old Testament passage and a New Testament passage with purpose to you, beloved, today. Only it seems like a reverse because, you know, the Old Testament is so much often thought of, well, that's the law. and the New Testament, that's grace. But what we hear in the New Testament passage we read, that we are not to grow weary. That's the command. In 2 Thessalonians 3:13, brethren, be not weary in well doing. That's the Lord's prohibition. He's saying you must not become weary. But the reality is, don't you become weary. You're oh so tired. You're exhausted with a burden. And there is the temptation that came to Asaph that crosses your mind. If there is no immediate punishment for disobedience, why should I continue to bear my burden? But the Lord also gives you encouragement, as we read in Galatians 6. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Why? For in due season, you will reap if you faint not. There's a promise to those who are struggling and carrying the burden that there's a time in which you will be rewarded for being faithful and carrying the burden. And you're reminded, don't give in to the temptation. God will not be mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. If you sow to the flesh, if you only seek temporal rewards, that's all you'll get. If you sow to the spiritual, there is the promise of eternal rewards, everlasting life. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for we who do not faint, we who do not let loose of the burden, will indeed reap, each one in his own season. That's what the Greek seems to communicate here in this passage. Because the Lord's not telling us to look at everybody else. It's a promise made to us corporately but individually that there comes a time for each one of us in which the reward will be bestowed upon us. I don't know how much longer I have in this world, but I doubt that you probably will all precede me in death. We each have our own time. And with that time is the promised reward of our Lord. So whatever your calling is, whatever the burden is that you're carrying, if you're a covenant mother who's tempted with weariness, if you're a head of a household who's tired of your job and you're just putting in time, remember what the Lord says, even to slaves who are employed, not by their own choice, but because they're compelled to be there. Remember, you serve the Lord Christ. And whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. You see, we have a much higher calling. We have a much higher place to aspire to with the help of our God. And our Lord tells us, He prohibits us from growing weary and doing what is good. Well, there is a reward coming. It's promised of the Lord, and the Lord doesn't lie. But you mustn't fall into this thing. I don't know whether this imagery still is used today, but it was used in my youth. The idea of you taking a pole with a string on the end of it and tying a carrot to the end of it. And if you had a donkey or a horse that you couldn't get to move, you held the pole out in front of the donkey or the horse, and they saw the carrot and they kept chasing the carrot. But the problem was you never got to the carrot. And you may feel that at times that the Lord is holding out the reward, but it's so far out. And it seems like I never get to the reward. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Do not be weary and well-doing, for in due season, and that season is appointed by the Lord, you will receive the reward if you faint not. In our Old Testament passage, we see before us, not only is there the prohibition of the Lord, but the Lord's reproof. And it's a very gentle reproof, but as you look to Isaiah 40 and verse 27, we hear from the Lord these questions. And I take them as being a gentle reproof of me, and I trust of you as well. He asks questions. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord? Do you feel like the Lord doesn't know what's going on in your life at times? Or again, the other question is, my judgment is passed over from my God. That's not talking about God delaying his punishment to you. It's talking about you having gone to God with your trouble and you're wanting from the just judge his care for you to provide justice for you because you are the injured party. And there's the temptation to say, oh, you know, God's not there to act on my behalf. And we are tempted at times to think that way, beloved. And this comes as a gentle reproof. Are we thinking this way? Because we know at various times the scriptures teach us certain things that our hearts embrace with joy. It's not that God doesn't know what's going on in our life, that he doesn't care what's going on in our life. When you are in high spirits, you go to Psalm 139 and your heart rejoices there. For there you confess with the psalmist, thou compassed my path and my lying down, thou art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and hast laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. You're amazed about what God knows about you. But you see, there's the struggle. There's the tension at times in your temptation. God doesn't know what's going on in my life. He doesn't care what's going on in my life. He hasn't answered my prayers because I wanted them answered right away. The Lord reminds us there's no place that we can flee from his presence. If we go to heaven, God's there. If we go even to the depths of hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Isn't that our confession of faith? God is there for us, and we need to remember that. And so there is a reminder here in the passage we have before us in Isaiah at verse 20, Isaiah 40, verse 28. After the Lord giving that gentle reproof, listen to these words. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? What do you remember, beloved, about God? What do you know about him? if you've never even professed faith publicly in the Lord, there's certain things you know that the Scriptures teach regarding God. And the Lord says to you, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? And then he goes on to remind us of who he is. That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Chapter 59, he would say, when you think God doesn't hear in your prayers, it's not because God doesn't hear. It's because oftentimes your sins are a dividing between you and your God. God does hear. And God is able. God is never faint. God is never weary. We don't understand weariness, do we? Do you really believe it that the Lord Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for you? What about his nap times? What about the times when he just gets tired? No. He doesn't get tired. That we can't comprehend because we tend to see God as ourselves, sadly. Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. And then listen to this part. This is so encouraging, beloved. At verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. I'll repeat it. He giveth power to the faint. To them who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth will faint and be weary. Young men will fall flat on their faces. But what does he say? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now you notice there, he's not saying you'll never get weary. Because if you never got weary, you'd never have to be renewed. But what he's saying is that there is a sustaining power of the Lord to help those who wait upon him. The Lord Jesus cries to each one of us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you're tempted with weariness, spiritually speaking, you're also tempted with thoughts that Jesus told a lie, aren't you? Now, you would never accuse him of that. But is his yoke easy? Is his burden light? What the Lord's causing us in his word to do, if we'll engage with him, is to realize that for those who look unto him, there is a renewing grace that takes place day by day. And so we're pointed to the Lord Jesus, who made this call to us to come and to take up his yoke and his burden, and that it will be light. He bids us to come to him and learn of him, learn from him. And so how can we do that? One place we can go to is Hebrews chapter 1, which is a commentary on looking at Jesus' life, particularly as he goes to the cross. Hebrews chapter 12 at verse 1, we read there, "Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus." Jesus says, "Learn of me. Look unto Jesus." And then when we're told to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he says, "For the joy that was set before him." What did he do? He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. The writer of Hebrews goes on in his sermon to say, "For consider him, Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself." Why are we to look to Jesus? "Because lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Looking to Jesus is what keeps us from fainting. It keeps us from giving up when the burden seems so heavy, because we have Christ's example. The reminder is to look to Christ's example for us as his people. You see, it was the Savior's joy to redeem you. His joy to redeem you. He endured, and I'll be a little more vivid here. He endured being stripped naked publicly for you. He endured the public curse of being nailed to a tree for you. He endured the public shaming for you. At any moment, he could have, if he were not doing the Father's will, have come down off that cross. And I can remember in my foolish childhood as one sitting in the pew of a church and thinking, "Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus had just jumped down off the cross and let him have it?" What foolishness in my thoughts. For it was the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bear the pain and the shame for you, to redeem you. Are you weary? Are you weary? We need to rightly understand what Jesus meant when he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." He didn't mean to become a Christian was a life of ease. He never intended it to be a life of ease. But what he intended to be was a life in which you're bound to the Lord Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you have strength to live the Christian life like no other. We see the Apostle Paul describing what early New Testament Christians experienced. When you're tempted to think, "Oh, Jesus said, oh, my burden's easy, it's light, there's no struggle there, there's no pain there." Look at what Paul testifies to, and this is not a lie. It's putting it into perspective. 2 Corinthians 4:8, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, Have you ever been perplexed? You don't know what to do next? But we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. You've died with Him, have you not, by faith? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. He goes on to say at verse 16, and that's why I share this with you, to encourage you in your temptation for weariness and faintness. For which cause we faint not. All these things are not going to cause us to faint, Paul says. Why? Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, what did Jesus say? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Paul's saying the light affliction is but for a moment. It may seem agonizing at the moment, but it's just for the moment. And it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Beloved, if you ever are tempted with weariness and you weigh your circumstances by what you have in terms of temporal things, you are going to fall flat. The promises of the gospel are the eternal things. Those are the things that matter. Right now, the temporal things, when you're so tired, if I could just get another hour of sleep, if I could just have a day off, But that's only temporal. And there are seasons and there are reliefs. God plans it for us that way. But the only thing that really matters is the eternal reward. And boy, will you know it when you are at the right hand of the Father, sitting on the throne with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will say, it was worth it all. It was indeed worth it all. Oh, those pleasures at His right hand forevermore. Can't you aspire in the living of your life under the trials and troubles you have to long for those words of the Lord Jesus? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That's your longing, beloved. May the Lord give us strength to lay hold on such things. I'd mention just briefly, though, we all know that there are times of disobedience in our life. And if it's a time and season of disobedience, the Lord says we're going to get chastened. Not everything bad that happens to us is because we've been bad. Job is a testimony of God of that very fact. But we're also told to evaluate ourselves. And if we know in our hearts that the Lord is chastening us because of our disobedience, we need to realize that the hard times are there because we have a loving Heavenly Father who is chastening us. Hebrews 12 makes that very clear. Father's love is why the Heavenly Father chastens His disobedient children. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. He goes on to say in that 12th chapter of Hebrews, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. You see, the Lord is always acknowledging our weaknesses, our struggles, our difficulties. And He certainly doesn't want us to give up. Yes, maybe you are being spanked of the Lord, as it were. but it's not because he ceased to love you. He ceased to care for you. What terrifies me when I see a member of the covenant community who seems to have no hand of chastening on them, it scares the living daylights out of me. Because the Lord promises that those whom he loves, he chastens me, them. The Lord has another reminder, and I'm trying to draw things quickly to an end. And that reminder is that no matter your disobedience, the Lord does not withdraw his love from you. Isaiah 54:7, for a small a moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies I will gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. You see, you've got to remember that God's goal for you as his child is you would learn to live contented with his provision for you. Paul addresses this somewhat in Philippians chapter 4 with his own testimony when he talks to us about how the Lord is teaching us to be contentment with the sustaining grace that he gives to you. Paul says of himself, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Are you content in whatever state you're in? At moments, I hope you are. Are you content? He says, I want you to be content in whatever state you find yourself in. Certainly not content in sin, but in whatever providences that the Lord would give you. I know how both to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then here comes the verse we often memorize out of its context. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How in the world was Paul content with his circumstance? Whether it's a mother caring for a little one, it's a dad who's tired of going to the job every day. Whether it's young people, you're in school and you can't, you know, you don't know what the future's going to hold for you, and you're wondering about this and wondering about that. You're a young adult and you've prayed for a number of long months or maybe years about a possible spouse that the Lord would provide, a godly spouse for you, and yet the prayer has not yet been answered, and you've got this waiting. It seems like. But you can do all things through him who strengthens you. Is that not true for you, believe it? Can you not confess that in your own heart this morning? That's part of the encouragement that the Holy Spirit would bring to your soul. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul went on to say in 2 Corinthians 12, when he had an affliction that God says, I'm not going to take away. It's a lifelong affliction. And some people have lifelong afflictions you've got to deal with. Paul's response was, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And his faith response, listen to this faith response. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. The last point I would make with you is this, beloved. This is a reminder to pray. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You'll find rest for your souls. But you find it through prayer, beloved. You find it through coming to Jesus and laid hold on him. Jesus gave the parable of the wicked judge for the very reason of which I'm speaking to you. The scriptures say in Luke 18:1, he spake a parable to them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. When you are tired, when you say, I don't know that I can go one more step along the way, God's response to you is, pray. Pray. What does he tell us? You have not because you ask not. Pray. Ask for the Lord's help. Wait on the Lord. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not. Do not tremble, neither be terrified. Why? For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you, to save you. As we receive mercy, we faint not, beloved. We pray for God's mercy. Let me give you quickly three examples from scriptures, and there could be tons of them more beyond. I turn your attention to Jonah. You know Jonah, the guy who was swallowed by the big fish. Yeah? He was a rebellious child of God. God told him, go to Nineveh, and he says, I'm going somewhere else instead. Now, Jonah, we're told in Jonah chapter 2, got thrown out of the boat. He ended up in the sea, and a big fish swallowed him. Well, sometimes when we're disobedient, but we're still God's children, big fish swallow us, as it were. And we're told at verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee. And what happened? Well, the end of that story is, and the big fish vomited Jonah up on the shore. He prayed to God. God answered his prayer. You see, even when you've been disobedient, the Lord's trying to show you, you can ask for his help and he will hear the earnest cry of his children. We hear of David. David's the one that tells us, and I love this verse. I've clung to it so many years in my life. In Psalm 27 at verse 13-14. David says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, we've heard different ones who've mocked the faith of Christians. Oh, they believe in the pie in the sky by and by. David's saying, no. The reality of our human struggle is, if we don't believe that God's going to show us goodness in this life, we give up. We have a faith that God loves us and he cares for us and he's providing for us. So he says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then he admonishes you and me. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Again, in similar vein, Psalm 4, verse 3. But know that the Lord hath set him apart that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. There's encouragements to pray, beloved. You got to be careful because Satan would trick you up. You say, well, I prayed about it. Nothing happened. Well, what's the answer of the Lord? Wait. That's David's answer. Wait, wait, wait. If you know that you're asking for something that's according to God's will, you have the promise of Scripture. The Lord will grant it to you. But he doesn't say he'll give it the moment you ask. Faith expresses itself by waiting. The last example that I would mention this morning to you is the example of Daniel. The example of Daniel. Daniel the Lord strengthened Daniel. We're told in Daniel 10 that Daniel has received a vision from the Lord, what's going to happen to the people of God in the end. And the vision is so troubling to Daniel. And we don't even know to what degree he really understood all the details of what was going to happen. But it was so troubling to Daniel. He says, essentially, it took my breath away. He says, I lost all physical strength. He cried out to the Lord. And this is what he testifies to at verse 18. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man. And I take this to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And he strengthened me. And he said, oh man, greatly beloved. Are you a Daniel? Is God saying, oh, my beloved? Surely he is if you're a child of God. And he says, oh man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto you. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. I think there's cause here, beloved, to understand this in this sense. You remember the story of creation in Genesis 1? God says, let there be light. What's the next statement? And there was light. Here in Daniel, we're told that the Lord came and touched Daniel and said, be strong. And what does Daniel say? I was made strong. The Lord acted. The Lord spoke. The one who speaks and it comes into being spoke strength. And Daniel was made strong. Is this not your testimony, beloved? I'm trying to encourage you today. When you're tired, when you're weary, and when you're torn down, is this not your testimony? Are you not one of the Lord's beloved? Is he not? Are you not one of those of whom he says he puts your tears in his bottle? Are you not a child of God? If you are and you confess in your heart, I know I am his. He is my God and I am his child. Then you have every reason to believe that you are his beloved. And he doesn't cut you off. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And when you cry unto him, he's the one who's begun the work in you, Philippians 1:6, who will bring it to completion. He's the one at the end of Jude, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless with great joy. He's there. You are his beloved, and he is your beloved. He who sings over you will help you. He will continue his work in you. So often we're confessing, are we not? Oh, I'm a vile person. There's nothing good that dwells in me. And we also need to connect to that. There's nothing good in me except what he has produced in me. But we need to confess what he does produce in us as well. For what does the Lord say when he calls you by name? Yes, he calls you beloved. But he also calls you his saints, his holy ones. You are holy by nature of what Christ has done for you and in you. You are precious in the sight of the Lord. And he is saying that he gives power to the faint and to them who have no might. He increases strength. So therefore you can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I pray that this will be your confession. Not only now, as you might have a faith response to this message, but whenever it is next that you are struggling, you feel downcast, you feel overburdened, you're crying out for help, to confess with your lips what you don't feel with your flesh. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Will you join with me? Lord, you've commanded us that we be not weary in doing what is right and good. Lord, grant us your help. The words that we have quoted from your lips, Lord, make them precious in our hearts. Cause them to abide. Cause them to give us help. Oh Lord, cause us to experience that when we are weak, indeed we are strong, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We ask this humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.